Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
And welcome back to Hour 2 of Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe here back with you as we head toward the weekend. I'm just kind of recapping the top stories. The governor of Texas says it's time to open up back his stadiums, pro stadiums. And we'll see about college, of course, coming up here in the month of June. So that means at a very low capacity, they'll allow fans back into games there. We're waiting for Major League Baseball and the Players Union to get together and make some sort of deal. Hopefully that happens over the weekend as well. You can go back and check out our first hour of the show where we talked about the tweet from Max Scherzer a couple of days ago and what that means for Major League Baseball. Well, the one thing that we're also hopeful for is an NFL season coming up in 2020. And on our shows this week, what we've been doing is looking at some of the props courtesy of the FanDuel Sportsbook. And today, Joe, we're going to dive back into quarterbacks. And look, if we were doing these quarterbacks a year ago, we would have flipped the script on these two players. We're going to talk about Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen today. I don't think very many people were high on Josh Allen going into last NFL season, and now they are. And I don't think that anybody was very low on Baker Mayfield going into last season, fantasy, gambling, whatever, and now everyone is. So a tale of two quarterbacks, and completely going hypothetically in the other direction, although, as you alluded to, you're not giving up on Baker Mayfield, neither am I, but certainly the season last year was not one that anybody's going to want to remember.
No, I do the write-ups for the quarterbacks in the Black Book. That's always, you know, my thing. And last year when I did the write-up for Baker Mayfield, I was cautiously optimistic, but it was funny because when we went to release, I saw so many other places have Baker Mayfield ranked so much higher than we had them. And that, and this is why RPV is good, because it doesn't kind of put the cart before the horse. It helps you understand that it's not just about the projectability. You have to live in the reality of the offense. You have to live in the reality of the youth of a player and all those other things. And, you know, projections are nice and they're fun, but it's not the only part of the equation. And RPV uses that. And I had Baker Mayfield a lot lower than a lot of other places, luckily, which has worked out for a lot of people. And ironically, there were two quarterbacks we were very, very bullish on as the top of the board at QB2 last year, the very top, which was like, if you don't like what's coming down to your quarterback, take one of these two guys. And one was Lamar Jackson, and the other guy was Josh Allen. And basically, we're saying, look, as passers, they're not complete projects yet, but in fantasy terms, they're going to get you a ton of points. The year before, Josh Allen had been running amok towards the end of last season, and we thought that would carry over, and it did. And Baker Mayfield, I'm not surprised that everything kind of went south with Freddie Kitchens. And I'm hoping, not that Stefanski is, you know, maybe the perfect guy for the job, but I have to think he's an improvement year over year than Freddie Kitchens. Would you at least agree on that? Is that maybe why
really
we're optimistic
for
Baker
Mayfield? I hope so, but I don't know. I can't really give you
a definitive
answer.
I think he's more qualified. I think Kevin Stefanski's been around longer in the NFL.
Last year was just such a horrible year.
It was. I don't think Freddie Kitchens was ready to be a head coach in the NFL. I think head coach is a very different job than coordinator. And there's some guys who, I mean, look at North Turner, right? Look at another guy. There's so many guys that we've seen, the Mike Martzes of the world, who had great runs as coordinators, but failed miserably as head coaches.
Did we say North Turner failed as a head coach?
Yeah.
Really?
You ever see North Turner's record as a head coach?
Some good years, no?
As the head coach? Ooh. A couple. I think all-time record, I want to say it's probably under 500, I would imagine, but you could look at that. I know the number here for Baker Mayfield this year is 38.99 and a half. And that is really close to what he did last year, which is 38-27. So when you're looking at those two numbers, you have to ask yourself, is there a better coaching staff in place? The talent year over year hasn't changed. The biggest thing for me when I look at this number, Craig, is I think the addition of Kareem Hunt to this team, because that's an option they really didn't have early on in the season. Being able to dump the ball off to Kareem Hunt, that I think is going to help pad some of these numbers here for him, and I am shocked with the little nugget you threw in there the last time that a Browns quarterback threw for 4,000 yards. I would have thought for sure Bernie Kosar had a year of that. Nope. So that you blew my mind there with that stat. That's incredible research there by you. But I think Kareem Hunt is the key to this number. I'm going to go over this number because of that, because I think that is enough to if he was basically there last year and you're giving me 9 weeks of Kareem Hunt that weren't there the previous year, I think I'm buying into that we can get another 50, 100 yards over this number. How do you feel about that addition? And maybe is this a number you stay away from or go under?
Yeah, I would probably go over because I do think that he just took a massive step back because of some of that coaching last year. And most quarterbacks who are worth a cent throw for 4,000 yards in the NFL. So I probably would lean over. It's not one that I'm really interested in particular, but I do think that the Browns were massively overrated last year, and maybe that they're a little bit underrated going into the year. Going back to North Turner real quick.
Yeah, under 500 as head coach.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, yeah, he was under 500 for sure, so you could not consider his coaching career a success, but he was...
I consider his offensive coordinating a huge success.
But his record with the Chargers was really good as a head coach for...
He had a couple good years with the Chargers, but
a lot of good years. 11-5, 8-8, 13-3, 9-7, 8-8, 7-9. I mean, those years would put you in the Hall of Fame percentage-wise, and it's only a couple of games over in the NFL. But the problem was, with the Raiders, he was 9-23. And those 2 years... you know, really set him back, and he was 3-13 the first year with the Redskins. So even though his record is under 500, you could not call
his also bad with the, well, he was also bad with the Redskins too. Let's not forget their run with the Redskins too.
3-13 the first year. You just don't survive that. After that, 6-10, 9-7, 8-7-1, 6-10, 10-6, 7-6.
He was, like I said, he was a guy. I'll rephrase on behalf of Norv, cause I have a lot of respect for Norv Turner. I don't think as a head coach he ever came close to the success he had as a coordinator. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. You could say the same thing about Wade Phillips.
When a guy coaches for 15 years in the NFL, like, I mean, there's got to – or as a head coach too, there's got to be some level of success that the guy has had for me to – like I would not call Jeff Fisher a failure either, even though –
You can't. Jeff Fisher is number 11 all-time in coaching wins in the NFL. I don't think you can reach number 11 and be calling him a failure.
If you're coaching for 10, 15 years in the league,
I wouldn't call it a failure. I'm calling North Turner, I would say, as a head coach. I think he would agree.
Probably average. He looks about average. He was a few games
under 500 is under 500. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, it's under 500 says a lot. Over that,
I can't call it a success, but I think that he deserved a little bit better.
Well, I will. I tried to reorganize my thoughts there and say I underachieved. Maybe that's a nicer way of putting it. But let's get back to Baker here.
Okay.
Baker Mayfield.
I'm going over as a dart, but I would not bet it. Let's go to Josh Allen for 2020.
I didn't want to blow your thing there. I didn't say the name of the quarterback of the last Browns quarterback because you did such a good job.
Sorry. Yeah, Brian Sipe.
What? I couldn't believe no Bernie Kosar?
It's actually funny that there's a running joke with me and a Major League Baseball agent with Brian Sipe. It's very funny, actually. It's funny that his name came up because every time I talk to him about fantasy football, he always says to me, last time I paid attention to football was Brian Sipe. I'm like, and so every time I text him, I'm like, hey, Brian Sipe, what's up? It's kind of funny. Just weird.
Oh, you crazy kids. But it tells you also about how bad the Browns quarterback situation has been for so long.
It shouldn't be that big a surprise. I mean, Bernie Kosar. You're right. That's the only one.
Well, Bernie's good years, he never got to 4,000. I was just looking at it. I was like, what were the Bernie numbers? I think he maxed out at 38. But it was a different team. They were running a ton with Ernest Biner over there this year. Like, you know, Kevin Mack. You know, they had some, like, big bruising running backs that they used to hand the ball off to a lot, and Bernie would go out there and make Bernie plays. But, yeah, gosh, even Vinny Testaverde had a couple good years for the Browns. Nope. 4,000. That's crazy, man.
Yeah. All right, can we go to Josh Allen now?
Yeah, now we can. I just wanted – I mean, it was such a good nugget. I wanted everybody to
– Listen, I was so focused on North Turner, I forgot about Sipe. All right, so Josh Allen – 3,249 yards is his total. It does feel extremely low, but he runs a lot, and that's part of this. -112 on the odds. His passing yards for 2019, 3,019, and the much lower the year before that. He didn't have a great year even with the 12 games that he played, but he was a rookie quarterback in the NFL, and that certainly happened. So I can tell you from looking at this number that FanDuel's bullish on Josh Allen. I mean, they're predicting more yards in essentially the same amount of games. They're telling you that Josh Allen and the Bills are going to have a better year than they had last year. At least that's FanDuel's opinion. So you could make some money on FanDuel by going the other direction if you think that. But look, the Dolphins in that division will be about the same, maybe a little bit better. The Patriots a little bit worse. The Jets either the same or worse.
Patriots worse defensively. I don't think that. I think they'll be on the field younger and faster.
They could be on the field more than they
could be on the field more. It's well. I mean, usually they didn't convert a lot of points in the last 10 games last year. They didn't convert a whole lot of points. They were on the field quite a bit, and they were still pretty good. But you're not wrong.
Yeah, this is different. Yeah, this.
You're not wrong. You're not
wrong. Or maybe they'll be great. I don't know. But I think that
either way,
I would lean over on two quarterbacks. I mean, I'm not an over guy, but I would have to lean on the over here too.
This one's a dangerous one because I think they're trapping you into the whole addition of Stephon Diggs, meaning, well, it's an obvious over. Like, he's going to be throwing the ball more. And I just don't know if Diggs all of a sudden comes in there and adds so much more or just instead takes away what was already there. I kind of lean with the latter here, that Stephon Diggs comes in there, eats into John Brown's touches a little bit and targets, eats into the target volume of some other people on this team as well. And I think that's more what I'm looking at. And I feel like sometimes this happens where we see the big name player go somewhere like Cole Beasley. You know, Cole Beasley was an effective guy there in PPR. And thank you, Brett. I'm sorry, I was brain farting for a second on Cole Beasley. But it's funny
that
because
that was a big guy last year, Beasley.
I said in full point PPR, he is a streaming guy that you could put in there and get 8 points out of. And every week, if you needed him, you could stream in a flex and get 8 points in deeper leagues, and you did. That is a big concern for me this year. So I'm actually going to be away from this number completely because I think this is dangerous territory. Because I think what's happening is FanDuel saying, hey, Stephon Diggs is here now. It's kind of like what they did to you last year with Baker Mayfield. Hey, Odell Beckham Jr. is here right now, but that's not the guy that's making the difference for me. I think Kareem Hunt makes the difference for me in that offense. That's the thing that makes me more excited about Baker Mayfield this year, whereas Josh Allen, the Diggs thing is not an addition. It's just a reconfiguration, in my opinion, of where the targets are going to go, because I think Josh Allen still runs the ball a lot. I think Devin Singletary is going to eat a lot more, and I just don't see him being a prolific passing quarterback. He's going to make big plays. He's going to change things around. He's going to kill momentum for so many other teams where it's like third and long and he gets that back-breaking first down that he runs for, 12 yards. But to me, I think I'm going to go under or stay away from this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's 200 yards a game. That's what they're telling you, right? I mean, this does not seem like a lot. I'd have to lean.
It doesn't. He didn't get it last year.
I'd have to lean.
And he had a good fantasy year last year, but he didn't get it last year either.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with some running back props when we return after this. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe here with you. Gray Albright from Razzballs coming up. You never know what Gray is going to say. We predicted that we would know about the baseball season 5 weeks in a row on Friday. We're wrong 5 weeks in a row.
Maybe you should take the other route. Maybe you guys should come out and say,
we're not over.
No more baseball. No more predictions.
We predicted we would know every Friday for the last month.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Player props will go to Saquon Barkley's number for 2020. Wow, this is a massive one. This is combined yards for Barkley on the Giants this year. On FanDuel, you risk 112 to win 100. For some context, he had over 2,000 yards 2 years ago when he ended up as the first pick in fantasy in 2019. But, of course, it did not work out because he got hurt in 13 games. He rushed for his total yards were 1,441. And so I look at this, and it tells me that FanDuel didn't really think that even with the three games missed, he would have eclipsed that last year. So they've put this number in an interesting spot. I would tell you this, if Barkley misses a game, and I'm talking about one game, he is not going to hit this number. That's at least the way that I'm reading this line here. So that's always a dangerous proposition for me. He certainly could. He's not the favorite even to lead the league in rushing, and we'll get to this in a second, but he's not number two or even number three. So I don't know if there should be an injury concern. He really didn't have that in college or didn't have it all that much, but it's a little bit of a red flag for me. The Giants are also not a good football team, so the only way I could lean here would be toward the under. I could not lean over. If you prorate his stats for the three missed games for 2019, he still does not hit 1749. Mm-hmm. So he came back early from that injury.
I think that's the one part of the equation is he came back too early from that injury, and the first few games back were not good. They were not good at all, and it took him another 3 weeks to start getting right again, and then when he got right again, he looked like the best running back on the planet. This is certainly one that is not without risk. It is huge risk here because I think you nailed it. You said exactly what I was going to say, Craig, which is if he misses a game, you could probably kiss this goodbye.
But if he plays
16, I think it's a lock to go over. I think he's that good. And I think he's going to remind everybody how good he is this year. I would take the risk, and I would go over here. I believe in Saquon Barkley. You're right. He was not a guy that had a lot of injuries in college. I think that offensive line is improved year over year. I love what they did in the draft, and I think they got rid of some dead weight on that offensive line too. And I think this is going to be I'm going to stick with this narrative of the surprising Giants. Just like I was in the surprising competitive Detroit Lions camp last year, I thought that team showed a lot of fight, and it would, and they did. I think the same thing is going to be true of the Giants. They're going to show a lot of fight. They're going to be a little bit better defensively too.
Showing a lot of fight is different than a bet, though. Let's be clear.
It is.
This is FanDuel here. The Lions fight all they want. They didn't win you any money, no matter how competitive
It's different than I don't remember what their season total was going into the year for wins.
Well, I can tell you that they didn't go over it.
I don't remember what it was set at, but I'll say this. Saquon Barkley reminds everybody that he's the best running back on the planet. And yeah, Christian McCaffrey's been really fine the last 2 years. But I think when we head into next year's draft, Saquon will be ahead of him as the number one overall pick. That's my guns. I'm sticking to him. And I'm hoping for those 16 games. Fingers crossed.
Here's a piece of advice. When you go to the window and try and cash a losing ticket, Joe,
they can't do it.
They had a lot of fight. They're not going to give you the money.
They fought so hard. But Governor, they played so hard. Why can't I make any money off this ticket? Please, sir. Please. Can I have some money from this ticket?
Okay, the rushing yards are out in 2020 on FanDuel. What a blessing it was with all this conversation we had about this that we can actually take a look at this today. So as we close out our talks on running backs, we'll do receivers next week, by the way. So here it is, the player prop to lead the league in rushing in 2020. Now, we're going to go through the names here, but I'll be very clear on this. What FanDuel is telling you from this, it is wide open. I mean, wide open as anything that I've ever seen before. I mean, Derrick Henry is not a favorite. I mean, he basically is not. I mean, this is someone you can make some money.
He wasn't the favorite last year.
Well, it's not about that. It's about
perspective.
It's about 7-1. I mean, you are getting if you can pick the rushing winner this year, and it is a dart throw. There's no question. It is a 100% dart throw.
But he is the highest odds, right? He is the best odds.
Seven is not that. That's crazy. I mean, 2-1, 3-1. Well,
I think it's very. I think it's very difficult in nowadays the way these running backs are structured. Where guys, these guys are catching the ball so much more. So much, the old adage of turn around, hand the ball off to the guy, and he's running through the tackles. That you know, LeGarrette Blount is not. That style of running you don't see as much anymore in the NFL. It just doesn't exist. You know, running backs are different. A lot of them are smaller. Some of them are faster. They're going with a game that's speed. And the way you get those guys going is to get them out in space by, you know, screen passes and things, getting them out on the flat and get them going. And I think that speaks more of why it's so wide open more than anything else.
Yeah, well, I mean, either way, it is a complete dart throw with the rushing leader this year. It's not even a question. I mean, look, 2-1 is a favorite. 3-1 is a favorite. 4-1. I mean, 7-1 as the leader in the clubhouse. I mean, that's
some
just
good running backs here, though. These are some really good names. I mean, maybe that there's a lot
right,
of factors
there's money
to play
to
here.
Be made. I mean, there is if you can. It's a guess, but if you can guess who it is, there's money to be made here. Mm-hmm. That's the point. If the favorite is 2-1, then that's the chalk. But here, there's no chalk. Derrick Henry, here's the list. Derrick Henry is 7.5-1. McCaffrey's 10-1. Zeke is 10-1. Chubb is 13-1. Barkley's 13-1. Is long odds for all these guys. It's like a great Kentucky Derby. Dalvin Cook, 14-1. I was thrilled to see Mostert on here with not even high odds, 17-1. He's absolutely in the mix. Oh. And Miles Sanders is 20-1.
Have you met Kyle Shanahan? Like he's absolutely.
I was absolutely thrilled to see that Mostert. I thought I was going to get like 50-1 in Mostert, and I saw 17-1. And
I'm sure you're thrilled to see it, but you want to just light your money on fire. It's not going to be Mostert. I'm sorry. I know he was your guy last year, and you picked him up, and you were right about picking him up. You absolutely nailed him in terms of helping you in fantasy. Kyle Shanahan is never going to hand the ball off enough for him to get a rushing title. It's never going to happen.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
he's not going to have 260 carries, Craig. Come on.
Either way, that was a name that I threw out of nowhere, because that's how crazy. And by the way, it wouldn't surprise me if no one on this list ended up winning the rushing title. That's how crazy this
is. Is there one of those like Tiger Woods or the field bets where you could take the rest of these guys and not?
There's a couple guys even after 20-1, but they don't fit on a graphic, so I stopped. There's a couple of 25.
Just curious, who else was still even floating around there? Yeah. Was it Kenyon Drake probably?
No, he's not even on there.
He's not even on there? Wow, no Kenyon Drake on there.
There's a couple of other guys. I don't remember.
I'm trying to think of who else would even be on this list here. Alvin Kamara's not going to be on this
yes,
list.
Yes, he was there. That's who it was.
Yeah, well, he doesn't get enough rushes.
He was 25-1. I didn't put him on there, not because I don't think it's realistic. We ran out of space.
Well, it's okay. It's not realistic either for him to lead the league in rushing. Again, lead the league
anything
in rushing.
Anything can happen. This is one category that I am not ruling anybody out leading in rushing. No one. In the NFL. It would not shock me if Cam Akers led the league in rushing. It is the NFL. I've seen this happen before. These guys come out of nowhere at running back, and they end up having great years. No one had Fred Taylor leading the league in rushing. No one had Edgerrin James leading the league in rushing. It just happens, and you look back and then say, wow, how did that happen? And then that guy becomes the number one pick in the draft, and then 2 years later, he's David Johnson, and he's finished. Happens all the time.
Well, it's funny because wasn't last year at Derrick Henry and now where we are this year, right?
Derrick Henry could be out of the league in 2 years or he could lead the league in rushing.
But I think next year he leads the league in rushing again. I'll still put my money with
him. Or he could be out of the league. We don't know. Nobody
I think
knows.
When I'm looking and trying to assess this, the first thing is
you have to take Derrick Henry. It's great money for you.
You're looking at guys who can contend for this. You have to automatically say, number one, does he have the backfield to himself? And I think that's the first thing where Nick Chubb, I know he had a really good year last year statistically. I know he was number two. I know he just missed it. But you're not going to be able to count on the same volume of Nick Chubb in 2020 that you can on 2019 because Kareem Hunt's there. And you can argue about this all day, who's better. But Kareem Hunt, his presence alone, you saw everything. You saw that line of Nick Chubb going up, 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 up. Kareem Hunt shows up. All of a sudden, fantasy points, touches, targets, everything going down, down, down. And that's just a reality. And there's no way Stefanski is going to get there and not see what Kareem Hunt is and use him. Dalvin Cook, another guy, potential holdout. On top of that, Madison's very good. We saw Madison get involved in a fair amount of games last year. Miles Sanders, as much as I love him, I just don't think that's realistic either. So it comes down to guys like Elliott. It comes down to guys like Saquon Barkley. And it comes down to Derrick Henry. Christian McCaffrey's another one. It's difficult because you confuse the all-purpose with the rushing title, and they're two different things. So if I gave you Elliott, Barkley, and Henry, and I said, here's $100, go put it on one, who are you putting it on?
Mostert.
I set him up, you knock him down. By the way, Craig and I this weekend will be playing the Poconos. That's right, me and Craig. Two guys sitting on a bench talking sports. Listen,
I would bet Mostert to win the rushing title. That's the guy I'm going with this year.
Okay.
I'm betting you on it. And now I got a chance to win $1,700.
The one thing I could say about you, you're loyal to a fault. That's why you're with me.
I gotta go with it. Do I think that there's someone here that could do it? I would say that if you told me,
I gave you three names and a 300.
If you told me Dalvin Cook played all 16 games, I would pick Dalvin Cook. But that's not something.
That's not a bad one. That's not a bad one. But it wasn't the.
Other than that, I'm going with Mostert.
So I gave.
Why is he on this list? Is FanDuel
on this list? Because people like you want to overrate the playoffs, and they're going to take your money. They're going to take your money because you're going to see 17-1. But he was so good in the playoffs. But again, Kyle Shanahan. I mean, how many games did Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman and all these guys, and he just decides, hey, you know what, I'm going to turn. And look, I know Mostert was the best one of the group towards the end, but I'm sorry, man. To win a rushing title, you need an unfettered backfield where you are the focal point of the offense. That's what you need. That's why Derrick Henry ended up winning it last year, because at the end of the day, he's all they've got, basically. I mean, A.J. Brown is nice. He had some nice moments, but that's another guy getting a little overrated in ADP right now. It's about getting the guy. And Dalvin Cook's not a bad one. You want to talk about a guy who's never healthy, and I love Dalvin Cook, but he's a huge risk to put money on to win a rushing title. You're worried about Saquon Barkley potentially missing time? How about Dalvin Cook, who misses time every single season, Craig? How can that be a good bet?
Listen, all of these are dart throws. They're all long shots. There is no good bet here, period. They're all guesses, every one of them.
I think Derrick Henry is the closest line to the board where I could throw the dart and hit something. Just saying.
Look, the odds are telling you directly that this is a guess, or else Derrick Henry would be 2-1, or 3-1, or 4-1, or 5-1, or 6-1. They're telling you it is wide open.
I just don't think we live in that Emmitt Smith age where we just know who the two guys are every year.
We may not. We may not. But my guess is that how many? There's 7 or 8 guys here. I would say 2 or 3 will only be in the top in terms of rushing. That's the NFL. We'll be back with more here on Fantasy Sports Today right after this. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Fun and interesting segment that we did last week. We're going to bring it back again this week. It's quarantine sports cards time. And we have seen a massive rush for a lot of people jumping back into the sports card industry. We illustrated some cards last week that you may have in your garage
that literally went up 100%. And it's like, it's been better than the stock market. It's been better than anything that you could have invested in. I don't know why. I don't know how. We have all these theories and reasons. But truthfully, Joe, I mean, cards can go up and down, and some of these can go up. But the massive jump in this is just crazy. Now, we know why Michael Jordan's cards all went up. That I get. Why Michael Jordan in a Vincent, who was the player that we got? Sam Vincent?
Sam Vincent,
why Michael Jordan in a Sam Vincent card went up was insane. But this week we got three more. I would guarantee everybody has seen at least one of these three. And if you go into your box of old cards, there's a chance you may have these. And they're going up like for no reason, almost for insane numbers.
I'm still mad. I had the right book in my hand, but it was in a different section of that book where I had the Bo Jackson because I knew I had it. Now I don't think I've got that Canseco. I remember that Canseco, and okay. I feel like at one point
You're getting ahead of the card.
I'm
ahead
sorry.
Of the
I'm sorry. I'm okay. sorry.
That Canseco. I didn't mean to people blow don't the even know what you're talking.
Brian okay. Sipe.
Okay, so
is that our?
We're doing three cards today. A three baseball, okay. a basketball. And a football card, okay? And the first card that we're going to go over today is this one. Everyone has seen this card before. You may have it. It's the 1986 Donruss Jose Canseco card that's been sitting in your drawer for the last 20 years that is worth $2. I get it. Now, the thing with Canseco is that he's had no fan appeal. He's just been a celebrity boxer or insane guy on Twitter that basically outed everybody on steroids, and his card has basically been stuck. Now, as you can see, Joe, here from the price, on a PSA 10, basically sending it into professional sports authenticators and getting a 10, which is very tough, okay? It is hard to get a 10. But, Joe, his price on the 10 actually was a pretty good price, right? Like, not cheap, but not, like, break your back either, correct?
Right, yeah. No, it's all right. It's reasonable, I guess. I mean,
it's not a few hundred dollars. Like, it's, you know, $100 card, maybe less. $50 card, $100 card, right. As a PSA 10.
Right, as a PSA 10, right.
Now, take a look 2 days ago what this card sold for.
And that's the thing I don't understand. So we've gone from that to $475.
$500.
$475, from $135 to $475.
How did this happen? Why did Jose Canseco's card go up $400?
I don't know. Now, I guess here's my question is, this is what the bidding is up to, or that's what somebody put it on for?
That's what somebody paid. And by the way, keep looking at the completed auctions on eBay. You'll see 400 all over the place. Not just there. I'm not just cherry picking and putting the best price out there.
No, I know. But you know, I didn't know if these were people posting saying, hey, I'm trying to get.
No, these are sold auction realized value pricing. This is a sold, not what they're selling them for. These are sold auctions on eBay. Sold.
It just seems I don't know.
You got nothing and neither do I. That's the point. I don't understand.
Here's the thing. I can understand the beloved, like I understand Ken Griffey Jr. I get that. People are wistful for their past and lovable.
Barry Bonds, even I understand.
Barry Bonds, I understand too, because he's gonna go in the Hall of Fame and I get all that.
But why Jose Canseco?
I don't understand. Jose Canseco had 2-3 good years and then was a power hitter who was a liability in the outfield and
when we were growing up, everybody wanted Canseco's cards. I get that. But no one's wanted this card in 20 years. And now why all of a sudden it's $500?
Canseco rookie card back in the day was going for what? $25?
Maybe. And that was like a huge price to pay for us in the 80s.
Like I remember the 83 Daryl Strawberry rookie being like a expensive card. I want to say that was like a $50 card at one point in time.
Right.
Like
his cards have not gone up for whatever reason. But I'm only going over on this show the cards that I think, A, that you may have, and B, that I can't figure out. And look, I guess that, like you said, that people are just wistful for the past, so that's what they want.
But who's wistful for Jose Canseco?
I don't know, but all of his cards have gone up, and this is just an example of one of them, but one that you may have sitting in a drawer in one of those plastic cases.
I know, and now here I am.
Canseco, the time to sell it is now.
I'm pulling a Craig Mish now. I got another book out.
Oh, here we go again. You're not going to find it, man.
But I found the Bo Jackson one that
After the show.
Keep going, because I know all one right. of them.
Okay, so here's the next one. Maybe our producer, Brett Levy, could tell us why this one has gone up. So, look, in the NBA, all of the rookie cards for all these players are going up. I don't know, and they're going up one by one. It's like a it's like when you set those dominoes up in your house, you push one and then the rest start going down. If you can tell me and figure out who the next domino is, let me know, because we can all make a lot of money off this. One of the dominoes.
That's the problem.
One of the dominoes is now Steve Nash. Why Steve Nash now? I don't know. But here's a look at Steve Nash's very simple non-refractor, okay? Non-limited, not serial numbered, nothing. A straight Joe, 1996-97 Topps card of Steve Nash. There's no glitz. There's no glamour. This is just his Topps card that you would pick up in an average pack. In a PSA 10 grade over at PSA, PSA grading, okay? If you sent the card in. This is the price of a Steve Nash rookie card graded PSA 10. I believe it's from only a month ago, not even, 2 months ago. You send a card in, Joe. It costs you $10 to get the card graded. You sold it on eBay. You got $10. You didn't make you made 28 cents after the fees, you lost money. After the fees, you lost money. This is the price right here of Steve Nash's rookie card that went off on eBay two nights ago. Over $100, the card. It went up $100. For what?
Is this people being home and bored? Like, is that –
this is why we're doing the segment, because I would like somebody to explain this to me.
I actually have a guy who
another Steve Nash card. I didn't even want to use this one, Joe. It's the same exact card. Last week, it sold for $280. But I thought that – I don't know why it sold for that much. But I don't even want to use that one. I'm just going to use the one that sold for over $100 two nights ago. It was $10 a month ago. It's $100 plus now.
I think there's boredom. I think we kind of touched on this. There's this, I don't know, yearning for the past and being safe and remembering your childhood. Well, for some people, it's Steve Nash.
I mean,
maybe for Brett, it's Steve Nash. He's a big basketball guy.
I know all the NBA guys are all going up. All the rookie cards, they're all going up. But it's like, which one is next? It's like chasing the next guy. So essentially, you could have bought 100 of that Steve Nash card
for $10. Right.
And look how much money you would have.
Well, it's funny because last week you were showing me ones and like, oh, it went from this to 100. Well, the Jose Canseco going to 475, like, I don't have that card. The closest I found in that book was a rated rookie of Paul O'Neill Donruss. I can assure you it is nowhere near that amount.
Paul O'Neill did not go up that
much. O'Neill did not go up at all. But
and again, a lot of the NBA guys went up. Shaquille O'Neal's in particular have gone up a lot.
Well, here's a Shaquille O'Neal fun one from the LSU days. I don't know if you've ever seen this bag.
Yeah, that didn't go up that much. But yeah,
I'm going to hold on to
it. All Shaq's cards went up.
Who knows next week? I mean, maybe some weird Papa John's run happens. Next thing you know, this thing is worth a lot more. I don't know.
All right, so here's the final one. Now, this is one that you may not have had because you would have had to really be a collector, because this was actually a Topps traded card. But since we spent so much time talking about Barry Sanders over the last couple of weeks and the games that I was at and the credentials and all that, he has a score card that is very familiar for a lot of people. It's just his head and he's smiling and looking. He doesn't actually smile anymore.
I was going to say, he looks kind of like, am I ever going to get in the game, coach? Like,
yeah, he's not a smiler, I should say, Barry. Even in pictures he takes with people, he's not a smiler. You could Google that. But anyway, this is his 1991 Topps traded card, graded 10 by PSA, a card that you could have bought 2 months
ago,
3 months
ago
for a dollar. Could have got it for a buck. Send it to PSA. You get it graded. And you see the completed auction here back from January. This is 3 months ago. $40. $40 for a PSA 10. Congratulations. You have a mint Barry Sanders rookie, and it was only $40. Simple card, for whatever reason, I don't know, has gone up $100, and Barry Sanders has not carried the ball.
I got a card guy, a guy who's a reader of the book series, and he swears by the black book, and he's like, look, I'm doing these card things. They're going out of control. It's crazy. He's like, there's got to be a tie-in here to fantasy sports and to cards and things like that.
And I
want to say, I think we found it. I think we're the show now. I don't have that Barry Sanders card. I remember it very well. The Canseco one, I think, was ingrained in my memory because it's, I think, one of those cards, and you probably experienced this too. There were cards as a kid you coveted. You coveted some of them so much that you think you actually own them as you get older. That's definitely true. That Canseco for me. And you know what I'm talking about. There were some that you just never had, but you're like, that card. Yes, that one. I have these two. This is a older Barry Sanders here. This is a Barry Sanders 1990 right here. Barry Sanders. This
could be another one of it.
Is it rookie?
Pro set?
And then
is that
I've
pro
got.
Set?
This is pro set, correct? Yeah. Very good. Well
I
done.
I think that went up a little bit.
And then this one from the college days of Barry Sanders.
Yeah, it's another pro set one.
Another pro set
those,
number one
I
overall
think
draft.
Those are good, and we could have probably used those had I knew you had them.
Well, let me see if you could turn these into gold.
The point of this is essentially me putting you on the spot saying why. Because I don't know.
I don't know why either. All I know is you start saying these things, and I see Jose Canseco going for $500, and it makes me go – do I have that? And I knew.
That's the point.
I knew
anybody watching this is maybe has this thing.
Well, I knew the Bo Jackson one for a fact I had it. And I wish I was able to pull it out of the sleeve.
Right,
I texted
you
right after the show.
Of basketball cards in the 90s, and you weren't somebody that bought these refractors and serial numbered ones. I know that's taking it to the next level in terms of game. Like, you were somebody in the 90s who went into a Target or a Walmart. You saw 1996, 97 tops and thought, oh, basketball, let me just buy a box. Well, your Steve Nash card could be worth over $100.
I don't know, man. I think we got to get somebody on here to find out what don't we know that's happening. I think it's just boredom. I think it's people on eBay bored. And if this is still going on after, you know, post-quarantine, that's a whole different story. That for me, if this is going on in August and everyone's still outside.
You could absolutely be right. But I would tell you this, that while this is going on, we may as well keep doing this. because I'm all for it.
It's fun.
I mean, I don't understand it. And I'm helping people, I think, make money. And you don't even have to spend a cent.
Of all the cards so far.
You literally just have to go to your box of cards. Now, look, the one thing I will add.
You got to send them.
Very hard to get a 10, a PSA 10.
Well, that was my next question. What happens when it grades 8 or 9? Like,
it's not worth nearly as much. Not even close. 8 especially. 9, you're still going to be happy you sent the card in. But again, a 10 is really what you're looking for, and it's very hard to get a 10. But it's not very hard to go on eBay and buy a 10 for $10 and turn it into 100 next month. I mean, that's crazy.
Oh, God.
All right, Gray Albright, speaking of nuts, will join us next. No trouble.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports. Today, as always, it's Friday. We bring in Gray Albright from Razzball and Razzball.com. A lot of football tweets I'm seeing lately from Razzball as we're still kind of waiting here on the NFL season. And you know, Gray, for as right as you are on a lot of your fantasy baseball projections, we are going to break. Like, we are like the Cal Ripken of saying next week we'll have some clarity on baseball, and we don't. Like, we're on some great streak here, so... Maybe we should say that, you know, next week we'll be back and we'll have nothing for you, because that's exactly what we have every single Friday. We were planning on doing a nice, baseball's back, and we never have it. Never.
Yeah, no, you're right, man. We have a consecutive day streak of being wrong. It's awesome.
I mean, it's like every single day. And now that everything that's going on is obviously very frustrating. And I think that you could sense that with me. I'm frustrated too. I'm sure all baseball fans are frustrated. But I cannot, and I said it last week, I cannot imagine another week that we still don't know if they're going to play or not next Friday. I mean, come on. It's got to end already, one way or the other.
Yeah, no, completely. I wonder now, you know, because early on I was wondering if it was posturing, but now I wonder if the owners don't come way up from where they are, if the players aren't just like, it's not worth it. Just like, forget it. We don't need a, you know, like the players already have said, like, you know, the proposal is not good enough. You guys need to figure it out. And that proposal from the MLB took like 3 to 4 weeks to get to the players as it was. Like, we don't have so much time. Like, the posturing, if it is posturing, needs to either like come to an abrupt halt, or it just needs to like subside into actual negotiations. Because as far as I know, there hasn't even been negotiations yet. It's just basically MLB saying like, we'll give you like 30% of your salary. And players being like, that's ridiculous. How about you give us like everything we are owed? And the owners being like, huh? New phone. Who dis?
That's the text. It's Tony Clark texting who dis to Rob Manfred. You can see
that. What is going on?
And that's the crazy part about this is that, like, look, I do reporting too, and I report on the Marlins and other things in Major League Baseball, other teams, other players. But what's crazy is that we're in an age on social media, unlike 1994 when there was a strike, where every single little detail is coming out, and better yet, we don't really know on that Zoom call between Manfred and Tony Clark. I mean, it literally could be those two with maybe one or two other people, maybe Joe Torre's on there and somebody else from the Players Union, and that's it. So we don't know what they're really saying. So they're playing this game of telephone. They go back and tell the owners, and Clark goes back and he tells like the players and Max Scherzer and that. And then they're the ones that are saying everything. And so we don't really even know the exact nature of those conversations either. We're just getting all the speculation, and that's what's driving people crazy. And they should have known better, Gray. They should have known that this was going to happen. They had to know.
Right. Yeah, no, that's definitely right, because you're in a situation where now everything get played out in the public eye. So it's like, who, even if there is no, even if there is no proposal whatsoever, you could go out onto the internet and be like, yeah, no, they offered us not enough. And, you know, it's the owner's fault why there's no season. Now, that could very well be true. But you could just say anything at this point and go out and be like, yeah, no, the players are totally right and the owners are totally wrong, which is probably the case, but we don't really know exactly. Yeah.
And the strength of the voices of Major League Baseball, like a Blake Snell, like a Max Scherzer, once something is said in this day and age of social media, it blows up. And I talked to Joe about this earlier in the show, Gray. In 1994, when we had a strike, and it was horrible, and it was similar, but here's where it was really different. In 1994, we didn't know what the bleep was going on. And then 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we turn on ESPN, and this dude Donald Fehr would talk about it, and that would be the end of the day.
Right.
Well, now it's all day long with everybody's, you know, and I don't understand how they didn't know that this was going to happen, even if there is an agreement that happens in a week or two. Look how much bad blood is going back and forth on this thing.
Right. Well, there's the here's an analogy for you in from Hollywood. Like when they had Michelle Williams was in a movie and she earned like $100,000, and the lead, which was I'm blanking on his name. I think it was it Brad Pitt? No, I don't know.
I don't even know what movie.
Yeah, but the point of the story is,
okay,
she was earning nothing, but once it was known to the public, like once she went public with the fact that she was earning nothing, the studio had to cave and pay her the same as like Matthew McConaughey or whoever it was, you know, because like suddenly there's pressure on the studio to be like, oh, well, we have to pay her the same because now, oh, it was Mark Wahlberg. So now we have to pay her the same as Mark Wahlberg because everyone knows how badly we were ripping her off. Well, the same could be said with baseball because you have all these players who have a lot of clout on social media. So they go out there to their 3 million followers. But the owners, I don't think necessarily understand how much, like as of right now, I think they're at the point where they're just starting to figure out how much clout the players have and how much they're able to move the conversation, where the owners
have the influence to move the conversation. There's a reason why they paid the Kardashians $1 million to send out a tweet. It's influence.
Exactly.
And Peter Angelos and John Henry are not on Twitter going, yo, what up? We got to get it done.
Right.
They're not there.
Exactly.
Nowhere to be found.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want bad blood, you know, there's going to be a lot of bad blood towards the owners, which, again, there should be. But
the players are saying, Gray, if they opened up their books,
They wouldn't, people wouldn't like what we would find, which essentially tells me that the owners, even in a bad situation, are still trying to maybe potentially make money out of this year.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like you, I mean, you would know better than I, but I feel like I've never heard a situation where a team hasn't made money. Like there's no case of like, oh, you know, that team was ended up getting sold for less than it was bought and they never, and like, it doesn't happen.
Right, it's Marlins sold for $1 billion. I mean, you know.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Like, these, and on top of all that, like, you have a guy like, Fisher, the A's owner, who's worth like $3 billion, and he's not paying minor leaguers $400 a week. So then you see that, and you're like, well, wait a minute. What's going on here? Like, if this guy has $3 billion, why can't he pay like minor leaguers $400 a week? So that then becomes part of the cycle, the news cycle of saying like the players are getting ripped off. Like even if that has nothing.
And the news cycle is all on that side because the owner doesn't talk.
Right.
And the owner is not forced to, but in the day and age in 1994, there was none of the players or the owners talking, only on television at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's all we got. There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook, Instagram. There was none of that. You know, what I would maintain, Gray, is that
in 94, you would see like Tony Clark walk out of a negotiation meeting and be like, oh, yeah, we didn't really get very far. And it would be like a 2 second news clip. And that would be
the end of it.
that would be the whole thing.
Now it's like every second of every day. We got Trevor Bauer's talking about Boris. I mean, where did that even come from? But my take is this. Look, the players certainly, and I've talked to some players recently about it, and I've expressed this to them. They have to have a lower expectation from getting paid in full, even though they feel like the owners are finagling. I'm not saying that they should take massive pay cuts, but they to play the season, even on a prorated deal, I think they got to take a little bit less. Well, the owners, on the other hand, have to take a massive hit. And the owners, in my opinion, Gray, should be philanthropic about this and realize you're making a charity donation, essentially. You're potentially saving the country. You're keeping people in your house. Yes, you're donating from a philanthropic point of view. You don't expect, and make no mistake about it, Gray, they would lose money this year. There's no fans. I mean, they're going to lose money this year. And if that number is 10 or 20 million and you have billions of dollars, seriously, like, it's a donation. Like, it has to be done. And I don't know that they see it that way. And I guess that's how they got to be so rich.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you have owners who look at it like this is a long-term situation where maybe we don't make money necessarily this year. Maybe we lose some money, but we gain fans, like especially some of these teams that don't have like the national recognition. Like if you have like the Jays going against the Rangers or something like on a random Monday and at prime time, and there's no TV, there's nothing, there's no sporting events, there's nothing else going on. Like you may get better ratings and you may be getting fans where you didn't have them before.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely could be enhanced. Well, we ate up all the time talking about this, but before we go, anything new that you'd like to convey? Anything new on TV? Anything new in life before we go?
No, I don't think so. It's the same story, just a different... I don't even know what day it is. I was going to say, is it Friday? I don't know.
Yes,
I
think.
Nothing's going on with me. I mean, it's the same story. It's coronavirus. It's awful.
Rough. It is rough. I mean, I went out for a
30-minute ride earlier this week, and like all businesses, I mean, but all these businesses are closed. It's depressing. Like there's a lot of people are losing money and jobs, and it's just like it's not fun. I mean, honestly, there's very little going on.
No, and my wife said, I said the other day, like, oh, this is like bad. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, she's like, you didn't think it would be like this? I'm like, not really. Like, I thought that we'd be locked up for a month or two, but like, there's really, I mean, it feels like we're still going to be having to do this in a couple of more months. And that's not something that I bargained for, which is why we really need, We need baseball to get this figured out. I mean, we really.
I mean, baseball would earn so many new fans just from being on because there's nothing. I mean, it's
NASCAR's
just like
NASCAR's numbers, Gray, are the highest they've ever been in the history of NASCAR.
Of course, I mean, it's so obvious to everyone. Like, if you just come back and just play 82 games, just give us something, please.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully. Next week will be our resolution toward the 2020 fantasy baseball season. Aside from all this reality, thanks again to Gray for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Thanks again to my co-host, Joe Pizzapia. I'm Craig Mish. Don't forget, you can catch our weekend edition of the show with Gray on there as well tomorrow morning and also on Sunday night. That's when we air our replays of Fantasy Sports Today, and our weekend edition is coming up, so make sure you catch that as well. Thanks to Brett, Danny, and Ryan for producing the show and keeping us on the air all week. We will talk to you again this weekend, or we will talk to you Monday morning at 11 a.m. right here on Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Craig Mish, and I hope you guys have a very safe and good weekend. Talk to you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Do you ever wish you could get more from your podcasts? Well, you can with BuzzFeed Daily, hosted by me, Casey Rackham.
And me, Zach Stafford. On our show, we've got more good news and more pop culture.
More memes and more celebrity tea.
More of everything that's blowing up your timeline and trending on the internet.
Every weekday evening, we're giving you more of what you need to enjoy your day. Because what's life if it isn't to be enjoyed?
What's more enjoyable than everything fun and exciting from across the world of BuzzFeed?
Yes, if you've ever loved a video from Tasty, Cocoa Butter, Paro Like, Nifty, Goodful, or BuzzFeed Celeb, we'll have something for you on BuzzFeed Daily.
And don't forget about great interviews that break down all the wait, what, from the internet and beyond.
Whether it's the world's preeminent astrologist, the star of your favorite streaming show, or maybe even the person behind that TikTok, you know the one. If they're making you smile, we're talking to them.
Listen to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.